Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:12 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Coming up in about a half hour, we're going to talk to Jeremy Evans and Commissioner Stephen Berry for the wrap. We had Josh Robertson on last week, so I'd like to give equal time to both people involved in the race for the District 5 seat in Escambia County. Also coming up in about 6 minutes, we're going to be doing the Transgressive Memorial Service. Find out what got canceled this week. You'll like it. Anyway, right now we have Julio Diaz. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard on Saturdays here at 4 o'clock on News Radio, and the host slash founder of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook and join them for movies and conversation. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Conclave, which is not about vampires. It's not Covenant. It's about witches. It's about the Pope.
Yeah, it's about the selection of a new Pope, which does not sound like the most riveting or amusing subject matter to most people, I would think, you know, unless you're, this sounds like, you know, we talk a lot, there's a movie out this week, it's for the faith audience.
Right.
This is not necessarily just for the faith audience, and this actually is a very riveting movie.
I was going to say, I think it actually sounds fascinating to get, because this is completely shrouded in secrecy, normally how this happens, right?
Yeah, and it was much more fascinating than I thought it would be, both in terms of the process, but even more so in terms of the story. And this is it's a thriller. It really is, which is, you know, you wouldn't think a bunch of old men sitting around voting would be thrilling, but it really was. It is a great cast led by Ralph Fiennes, who is the dean of the Vatican, and he's charged with leading this papal conclave after the previous pope has passed and they're selecting a new pope. It gets into a lot of political issues of the church and a lot of political issues of the real world, but it also has a lot of intrigue and a lot of, you know, kind of whodunit and a lot of manipulation.
Okay.
Cast also includes Stanley Tucci and John Lithgow, and I think we're going to see some Oscar nominations out of this one. Really, really strong film, and surprisingly, in some places, very funny too.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
We also have
also
have the latest in the Venom series. Venom,
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance. Okay, so is that it?
Why it is called that is beyond me.
Okay.
Supposedly, they are promising this is the last one. I hope beyond hope that it really is the last one, but I think
number three, is that right? Number three.
Yeah. I get the impression that Tom Hardy is done with us. And so that may make it the last one.
Gotcha.
But you know, Sony keeps making these Spider-Man movies about Spider-Man, and none of them are very good. And in fairness, the Venom movies have been better than the other attempts, like Morbius and Madame Web, but they're not good. And you know, this one seems to be bearing that out with a 34% Rotten Tomatoes review.
Oof.
It's going to be bulletproof though, because these movies have made money, and this movie is going to make money too. And I have to be honest with you, as much as I'm railing against it, there's a little bit of a completionist in me that's like, well, I saw the other two.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one comic movie that the former comic shop owner didn't go to see, right? So, I know.
Yeah, so I'll probably get around to it eventually. I may wait and see it on a plane like I did Madame Web.
What are you going to watch next week, Julio? What are you going to watch next week?
Well, pickings are kind of slim next week. Of course, next week is Halloween, so the studios aren't releasing a lot of big movies next week, so there will be a couple of things. We'll wait and see, though. Just check out the Facebook group, and as soon as we know something, we will post something there.
Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook, and also Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. Julio, thanks for the time, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
You bet. Coming up next, what got canceled in the Transgressive Memorial Service, and does any of it have to do with objectifying women? It does. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. But we are seeing some delays if you're on Highway 29, both north and southbound, just south of the I-10 exit. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
I'm Don Gates, and I stand with Governor DeSantis to stop illegal aliens from invading our state and draining our resources. I'll never allow illegals to get Florida driver's licenses, and I won't spend a penny of taxpayer money on illegals so long as there is one Florida veteran who needs our help or our care. Law enforcement is supporting me because I will give them the tools, the laws, and the backing to arrest illegals who commit crimes and get them out of our country. If Biden can't, or if Biden won't, then Florida must protect our borders and preserve the rule of law. And that's why I'm running for the Senate.
Don Gates, trusted conservative leadership, fighting for Northwest Florida. Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is today at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the barbaric and sexist Level 3 speech violence committed when men refer to women as birds. As British employment judge Pavel Klimov recently ruled, referring to a coworker, women, as birds is a derogatory form of sex discrimination, and the employees at Whiskey 1901 in Knightsbridge, London, will have to stop using the term. The basic problem is that the only logical connection between women and birds is that they both are frequently stared at by men, with or without binoculars, who seem primarily captivated by their colorful, large, or oddly shaped breasts. Not so good, gents. But what's so wonderful about this decision to remove an obviously misogynist word from British use is that it opens the door for us to consider and eradicate all sorts of terms men use for women that are obviously unacceptable in the enlightened year of Our Lady, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, ASF-176. For the newest other in Among Us, that's 176 years after Seneca Falls, all hail the Holy Declaration. Boom. You see, the men seem to have this nearly irrepressible habit of creating objectifying terms for women, not to mention for the various parts of women. And since we are all anti-cis normativists now, seeking to validate, include, and normalize every concept of gender, including the idea that there are no genders, we fully reject hurtful and reductionist words that only serve to reinforce the cis normative paradigm. These words all proceed from the myth that we can easily categorize people as male or female, or even that we know what male and female are anymore. So in that spirit of inescapable gender anarchy, we declare that every word used by men for women shall be hereby prohibited. This includes bird, chick, dame, doll, babe, broad, dish, honey, skirt, wench, dish, lassie, toots, gal, damsel, maiden, lass, and floozy. I don't know about you, but I feel more virtuous already. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, personal size hospitality care products that typically come in hotel rooms, such as shampoo, conditioner, and body lotion. Starting January 1st, 2025, all hotels in New York State with more than 50 rooms will be prohibited from providing toiletry bottles under 12 ounces to their guests. To comply, hotels are now moving to traditional store-sized toiletries with squeeze or pump-action tops that will simply be shared by subsequent guests, just like if you're going over to Aunt Sally's house for Thanksgiving. Marriott Hotels claims they are already 95% compliant across their properties. Hilton says they were 100% by 2023, and this new law in New York follows a similar ban in California last year. There are just so many things to love about this move. Obviously, we celebrate the reduction in plastic bottles, but it goes way beyond that. For instance, forcing people to share creates an inconvenience, and as your third article of Wokeology teaches, forcing people to endure inconvenience reminds them that performing virtue hurts because it's good. Virtue that isn't painful isn't virtue. That's why deprivation of any kind is a useful tool for the collective mindset and reminding people that intruding upon their lives and comfort is the very different definition of being a good villager. But it's so much more. Think about how this reinforces the concept that all humans are part of one large loving family, and therefore the sharing of communal body wash and shampoo with each other is really very natural. What better bond can there be between hotel room guests than the knowledge that some total stranger was using that very conditioner or hand lotion just before you were? So for saving the environment one minor deprivation at a time and teaching people to suffer and suffer alike, New York State, we praise thee as a model of the modern mindset. The otherhood of man will one day be ushered in by such contrivances. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, because we may not have many more chances to do so, this week we want to honor President for Now Joseph R. Biden, that paragon of inclusion, equity, and wokeness. This week, while Mr. Biden was honoring recipients of the Medal of Arts and the Medal of Humanities, he took a moment to talk about the relationship of men to women, a subject upon which a certified gold-plated feminist leader like the president simply cannot pontificate too often.
As Joe Biden's husband, I know the power of women in this room. I know. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. All the women in my family are smarter than all the men. That's not a joke. You think I'm joking? I'm not.
What we most appreciate about this remark is that he twice assures us he's not joking. Since so many of Biden's comments are so laughable, this clarification is important. But here we have the basic premise of 17th wave feminism. All women are smarter than all men. Something so true and obvious that there really isn't even a need to give evidence for its validity. Who would dare to disagree? But he went on, significantly adding,
I know the power of women in this room to get things done and uplift the next generation of pioneers, proving a woman can do anything a man can do and then some. And that includes being president of the United States of America.
Now, aside from this wonderful reference to Ethel Merman and some encouragement toward the vice president, Her Highness Princess Kamala I, what he's saying here is so vital. Because modern feminism, all waves other than 4, 8, and 15, has so rightly taught us that men are at best a necessary evil and at worst, just an evil. It's always crucial to remind them of their inferiority and worthlessness when compared with women. Thus, for a dear leader to say that all women can do anything any man can do, and better, is simply to sum up in so few words the collective teachings of modern gender studies. Although we sometimes say we favor gender equality, the real truth is we believe in female chauvinism. The rightful Amazon-like state where the queen bee herself reminds us, who run the world? Girls. So well done, sir. Yet again, reinforcing the wisdom that the only men who can be trusted to be in positions of power are the ones who say that only women can be trusted to be in positions of power. Especially presidents who claim that any woman could do the job better than him, just not quite well enough that he would actually resign and give the job to the one who works for him. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week will be served on special linens provided by Soilier Than Thou, the eco-friendly napkin, towel, and bedsheet company whose products are used and reused a minimum of 5 times between washes. In an effort to reduce energy consumption, water waste, and the polluting of our planet with detergents, Soilier Than Thou reminds us that slightly soiled is nevertheless not the same as completely soiled. So savor that muffin with a somewhat recently cleaned napkin and enjoy the idea that only 3 to 5 people have put their greasy hands on it before you. Soilier Than Thou. If you're really lucky, you can even taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
With or without binoculars. 827 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
With or without. Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about. We're seeing I-10, I-110 looking really good right now. Not really seeing any delays to let you know about. Traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
NHRA drag racing legend John Force is continuing to improve after a traumatic brain injury he suffered in a crash near Richmond, Virginia. A video posted on social media was the first time Force spoke to his fans since that crash last June.
I felt I owed to tell you guys that I'm okay.
He says he's doing better, and he thinks he might even be able to attend next week's NHRA racing event in Las Vegas as an owner. And Andrew, rapper Lil Durk has been charged in a murder-for-hire scheme.
Not Lil Durk!
Yeah. Are you familiar with his work?
I don't own any of his album.
Apparently he won a Grammy. But he was arrested this morning.
Then I'm the dumb one. All right.
He was arrested in Florida this morning by U.S. Marshals in connection with a plot to kill fellow rapper Quando Rondo. Are you familiar with Quando Rondo?
Stop it.
Over his alleged involvement in the killing of yet another rapper.
Who can keep track of all this East Coast, West Coast drama?
Apparently being a rapper is a very dangerous job.
Or creating the perception that being a rapper is a very dangerous job is important to being a successful rapper. I'm not sure which of those it really is, but okay.
You're getting deep in the weeds with it now.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. I needed that laugh. That's too funny. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. David was the one that actually brought this to our attention. NES Pensacola has put out a thing on Facebook where, because of the Thunderbirds, sometimes you pronounce it that way, the Thunderbirds are going to be joining the Blue Angels for the Homecoming Air Show next weekend. They're going to be doing a beach flyby on the 30th at 11:30 a.m. Now, here's one thing. Somebody asked, which direction are they going to go? And I'm thinking, well, they always do the same thing. They go south on Palafox. They pull east towards Navarre. They hook around, and then they come west along the beaches in order to get back home. But the listing, and I have no confirmation. I have not yet even asked, but the listing of locations on the flyby for the Super Delta is Johnson Beach, Pensacola Beach, Oriole Beach, Palafox Street, which is exactly backwards. Now, that could be completely inadvertent. It could be, for all I know, I was looking to see if it's alphabetical. It's not. But, you know, just, I don't know. But, you know, at 11:30, be prepared to look either way. Be prepared to look either way. That would be my advice to you. The wrap with Stephen Barry and Jeremy Evans comes up next.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Closing arguments 11 days out.
I'm Bruce Springsteen, and I am here today to support Kamala Harris and Tim Walz for president.
As last night at the VP's Georgia rally, and today the promise of Beyonce and Willie Nelson at her Texas rally. Fox's Peter Ducey on the gender gap.
According to a Quinnipiac survey of Battleground, Michigan, women are breaking for Harris by 20 points. Men are breaking for Trump by 16 points. The VP claims she's not concerned about such a wide gender gap.
It's not what I see in terms of my rallies, in terms of the interactions I'm having with people.
Donald Trump hammering Harris in Arizona and Las Vegas rallies.
Further defeat inflation and bring back our economy, I will terminate Kamala's insane electric vehicle mandate.
While President Biden makes a third attempt to cancel some student loan debt. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, sunny at 63 degrees right now in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Well, the clock might be ticking for Pensacola to use some of that state funding they were awarded for the demolition and redevelopment of the Legacy Baptist Hospital campus earlier this year. Mayor D.C. Reeves signed a letter of intent for the city to take over that property in January. It hasn't happened yet. The city said they plan to use the property for an affordable housing project. Representative Alex Andrade says if the $7 million in state funding for the project isn't used by sometime next year, it could potentially be reallocated.
This money, the $7 million, is not going to be spent this year, as most appropriations are spent within the fiscal year that they're awarded. I'm either going to have to work to protect this $7 million in the budget to allow it to be used for this project, or if this project's not going to happen, I got to go work to try and reallocate that $7 million to a higher and better use.
And City Councilman Charles Baer echoed some of those concerns at a recent City Council meeting. City Administrator Tim Kinsella tells Channel 3 that if they thought the money was actually at risk, they'd move pretty fast to make sure that it wasn't lost. Well, several homes in Gulf Breeze were under a temporary shelter-in-place order yesterday. This was after a hazmat chemical spill and a fire near Highway 98. That started when a hydrogen peroxide tank overflowed as it was being filled.
That particular chemical, when it hits the atmosphere and organic material, that it actually catches fire. So it created a small brush fire, about 50 by 100 feet brush fire.
That is Midway Fire Chief Shannon Stone, and he says between 80 and 100 gallons spilled as the chemical was being filled. Fire crews were able to put out that brush fire pretty quickly. They did call Escambia Fire Rescue's hazmat team for some help with the chemical spill. Santa Rosa County says residents that were near that incident were notified with a reverse 911 call, but some residents say those calls were only placed to landlines, not cell phones. Others tell Channel 3 they did get a notification by text message from the county emergency management. There were no injuries reported from either the spill or the resulting fire. Well, we're going to have five more years of Sun Belt Championship basketball in Escambia County. An extension has been signed with the Sun Belt Conference to continue holding those championships at the Bay Center from 2026 through 2030. The conference first moved the championship series here in 2021. The county says it had a $4.3 million economic impact in 2023. Next year's Sun Belt Championships will happen in March. The tournament games are played at the Bay Center. They're broadcast live on ESPN+. Now, renewing your car tags or your driver's license will get a little bit more convenient next week for folks who live on the north side of Santa Rosa County.
The our office up in Jay has been closed for a period of months because they completely renovated that whole building, new flooring. They had to put in a firewall for safety, and so that's opening back up next week.
That is Santa Rosa tax collector Stan Nichols, and the Jay office has been closed since late June. Northside residents have had to drive to other tax collectors' offices in Milton, Midway, or Pace. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, taking a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right, brought to you by PureTalk.com. Stop overpaying for your cell phone plan. Pure Talk gives you unlimited talk, text, and data for just $25 a month on their 5G network. Dial #250 and say keyword switch now to save 50% off your first month. Just one accident to let you know about. It's a hit and run crash with injuries on Mobile Highway in Lynch Street. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
For your Friday morning, temperatures are starting out anywhere from the middle 50s to lower 60s, just depending on where you are. As we head into the afternoon, another warm one's on the way, going to heat up into those middle and upper 60s once again. Lots more sunshine on tap with no rain in sight. Heading into the weekend, more of the same with temperatures above average in the upper 80s with sunny and dry conditions. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Update.
Thank you very much, Marion. And we've got 63 degrees right now in Pensacola, 64 in Gulf Breeze, and 60 in Milton. And taking a look at our markets this morning. At the opening bell, the Dow is up 140 points, almost 141 points at 42,515. S&P up 32 and a half points at 5841. The NASDAQ up 149 points this morning at 18,564. 10-year bond rate down just a bit, 4.17% today. Gold prices down $8.30 at $27.460. Silver prices down a dime at $33.69. And taking a look at crypto, no huge changes so far this morning. Right now, Bitcoin down $211.25 at $67,906. Well, new rules by the Biden administration could offer student debt relief to about 8 million people. New rules were announced yesterday that could provide debt relief to students experiencing hardships, which would be defined by the Department of Education as any event or situation likely to impair their ability to fully repay the loan. McDonald's is facing a lawsuit from a Colorado man that says he was sickened with E. coli after he ate a quarter pounder. Ron Simon, the attorney representing Eric Stelly from Greeley, Colorado, says his client is still trying to recover from what happened.
We're going to get the proper compensation, the just compensation for the suffering these victims have. And we are going to figure out how this happened.
Ron Simon and Associates is a national food safety law firm. And it says that Stelly tested positive for E. coli just a few days after eating McDonald's earlier this month. The E. coli has been tracked down to onions that were on the sandwich. And it is 8:37. Our next news at 9. I'm breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3.
The Media Market Station of the Year. Thanks to you. This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Robert Bender, your supervisor of elections. The general election is underway, and now is the time to make sure you have a say in this election. Election day is November 5th, and there are three ways you can vote. One, you can request a vote by mail ballot and return it by mail or leave it in a secure ballot intake station at any early voting site. Two, you can vote early at any one of our 10 area early voting sites from October 21st through November 2nd. And three, you can vote at your polling place on election day. Whatever you decide, just get out your vote.
For more information, visit escambiavotes.gov or call 850-595-3900.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Candids, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
That's my timer letting me know that it's time to check the Slow Smoke Barbecue at Sonny's. It's also a reminder that it's time to book your holiday party or catering. We love to serve your business or organization a delicious prime rib to celebrate all your hard work with catering from our four locations serving the greater Pensacola area. We also have banquet rooms at our Navy Boulevard and 9th Avenue locations. And speaking of the holidays, give the gift of barbecue and a convenience of a gift card. Sweet and smoky ribs sure do make a mess of those Christmas stockings. Go to sonnysbarbecue.com to find your nearest location and all the details on our holiday catering services.
Mommy, want to play a game with me and Dad?
Mommy's not feeling good.
You need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with DayQuil VapoCool. It's DayQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
Whoa.
Come on, honey. Let's let Mommy rest.
You guys are amazing. And so is DayQuil VapoCool.
DayQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing daytime coughing, aching, fever, power through your day medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
The hip, the hip, hop, you don't stop. Wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Yes, it's the end of the week. It means it's time to talk with a couple of people here in studio with me about the events of the week. And, of course, last week we had candidate for District 5, no party affiliate, Josh Robertson. Today we have Stephen Berry, who is the county commission incumbent for 12 years in District 5. And I think it's – did I ever have you on the show maybe 8 or 9 years ago one time in connection with an election? I just – I know we did the debate a couple of years ago, but I don't think I've had you on the show in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Nice to be back.
Great to have you back, sir. And good friend, longtime rap participant Jeremy Evans, former – head of things in the Republican Party here in Escambia County. And now just, you know, Jocelyn's husband.
Yep, just Jocelyn's husband.
Welcome back. We've had a big week this week, all kinds of stuff going on. I wanted to start with this because it's stuff that we've been talking about this week, and of course it's relevant to you, Commissioner. The issue about swearing in public meetings has suddenly become, I don't know, with Santa Rosa County, we had somebody got escorted out of the meeting yesterday, Chris Kerb, flood defenders, for swearing. Larry Downs Jr. has had this, you guys have had this kind of back and forth issue about swearing in the meeting, and of course he got escorted. I mean, escorted is a little bit strong, but you know, the police officer or the sheriff's office deputy walked over and they walked away, okay? Yeah. I've had a conversation about this, and what I think the Supreme Court has ruled is if they're not disrupting the meeting, like with tambourines and shouting, they're probably okay, even though I hate to see profanity in the public meeting. So I wanted to hear from you about kind of your thinking about where you think the line is. And, I mean, are you worried he's going to bring a lawsuit against the county?
I mean, I believe the line is profanity. That's what, that's what the county attorney has advised me. One of the, you know, we read a disclaimer where, you know, kind of a preface before board meetings and public forum where part of the language is, you know, profane remarks or any conduct that's disruptive to the orderly conduct of the meeting. So, you know, to me that reads as profane remarks or any conduct that's disruptive to the orderly conduct of the meeting. And, you know, profanity is certainly profane remarks. And, you know, specifically the other day, and it has been a little bit of back and forth, and, you know, I love Larry. I've known Larry a long time. You know, October is Disability Employment Awareness Month. And so we happen to have a lot of guests in the audience. We had four businesses and organizations that were receiving awards for their advocacy and their effective work for folks with special needs and keeping them and getting them into the workforce. And so we had a lot of guests in the audience, and some of those guests, young people and, you know, people with different abilities. And, you know, I'd like to see good behavior from everyone, that being the people that are speaking at the podium, as well as the board members on the dais, ideally. And, you know, the profanity, I don't think that's appropriate. I mean, the content of what you say, you know, being, you know, speaking disparagingly about board members, that's certainly protected and those things. And
they never do that though.
Well, but that's okay. that's part of the, you know, that's part of the job. That part's okay. But the profanity or the yelling, you know, the you know, extremely loud voice. I mean, those are two things that I think there's a line that exists there.
So the interesting thing, like I'm in broadcasting, right? There are certain words I cannot say on the air. Though George Carlin said there were 7, there's actually no such list. But you know which words you can't say, okay? There are other words I can say that are what we might call soft imprecations or, you know, hell, damn, ass, things like that. I can say that. And you don't throw people out for saying those words. So how do you like, that line is hard to figure out. Or maybe it's not. Maybe you think, you know, FCC kind of violations would be kind of the line. I actually agree with you about yelling, because that would qualify as disrupting. But Jeremy, thoughts about, look, I want a meeting where people aren't swearing.
Yeah.
But some people, the reason profanity exists, ideal case, is because it's hard to find substitute expressions that really carry the meaning, weight, and emotion of certain words. And So I don't know. I think we lose this case at the Supreme Court, frankly. It's never been decided, but I think we lose this case.
I think that that's... I think it's possible. I think you and I have had this conversation many times. I think we need to be doing what we can to push towards a more civil society Amen. Than a less civil society. And if it is something that somebody... And it's kind of, you mentioned the seven words, I was going to go to the Supreme Court case on pornography. You mm-hmm. know it when you see it, mm-hmm. that there is a point where somebody is pushing the line. And then I would venture to say that not all the time, but many of the times, the person who's going to use that language is looking for the fight about the language.
Yep.
And they're trying
and fighting
to,
words, you know, provocative yeah. words toward, those are obviously prohibited
and
as well.
So I think that if you have people who are participating in the process. My daughter's 10. Relatively soon, I am going to start taking her to a county commission meeting.
Why don't you like your daughter?
I want her to...
No offense, Commissioner. No,
like I want her to understand how our civil process works. And I will tell anybody and everywhere that everybody knows who their president is. Most people don't know who their county commissioner is, and their county commissioner is
going to... I don't think anybody knows who Stephen Barry is, honestly. Well, if we're
the county commissioner is somebody who affects their life much more than the
absolutely.
President does.
Yes, absolutely.
And let's go to a county commission meeting because I know I have been advocating for something before. And if the county commission has three people speaking and all three of them are speaking in favor or against something, all they can assume is everybody is speaking on one way or the other. So I believe that I want to take to my 10-year-old daughter, 11-year-old daughter soon, and there is a certain decorum that I would hope that would happen. Now, does it mean is it constitutional, is it unconstitutional? I would say you can act in a certain manner until you're told you can't act in a certain manner, but there's going to be people who push the limit to push the limit.
And that's got a history in First Amendment law, too.
Yeah.
We'll come back to this in a second because I think there's more to be said. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about Mobile Highway in Lynch Street. That is with injuries and roadblock on Mobile Highway. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. So, yeah, I mean, First Amendment pushing and political speech, like the core of the First Amendment is political speech, religious speech and political speech. Of course, religion, not particularly the issue here. But if somebody... Again, though I dislike it, it's disliked speech that it protects, and I'm not sure that we need to, I hate to say this out loud, but is the 8-year-old's virgin ears the standard for what can be allowed in a county commission meeting? You said the attorney, Allison Rogers, has advised you that this is where we need to be as a county?
Yeah, that the profanity is not protected speech, and I consider,
but again, that kind of profanity, though.
I don't consider that soft profanity. I mean, I consider that profanity. But
even but those ones you allow, like if somebody says hell, you don't throw them out of the meeting for that.
If Mr. Downs wasn't asked to leave the podium the first time that he said what he said either.
Correct.
If someone repeatedly said that, I don't care for that either. I don't care for the other 4-letter word you mentioned. I just within about 6 months of taking office years ago, I got an unfriendly phone call from a friendly folk that reminded me that the meetings would exist forever. That just remember, these meetings they're videoed and they're going to exist forever, Steve.
Yeah.
And your kids one day, this is before I had children, but your kids one day will be able to, they'll be able to watch these. So just keep that in mind. He didn't say any more than that.
And, it's a good note, yeah.
But I was reminded of that, and I think that some of us, you know, ought to be reminded of that at times.
I would also say that there's also some room for context, while not at a county commission meeting, books and language at school board meetings has been a very huge topic, and somebody will read right. from the book to describe this is a situation.
And state law actually protects them yeah. in reading the and vulgar material in the book, because the argument is if they can't read it, it shouldn't be in the library. Yeah. And so it's actually protected speech under Florida law now.
And I would say that there is some context as to what the speech is at the time. And if they were – you get into some gray areas, but again, it's one of the situations that I feel like you know – somebody's coming, they're trying to push them the line, you give them a warning to say, hey, sir, we don't allow that kind of language. You give them the opportunity, you know, maybe it's the first time you use it a warning, second time, hey, man, we're going to toss you out if you do it again, and strike three, you're out. I think that you've given somebody a lot of rope there to kind of understand what the purpose is. And then at that point, it's somebody who's just trying to.
I will also say this. There are an awful lot of people who shout and yell about their First Amendment rights who I'm not sure fully understand that there are some limits, the justification for running an orderly meeting, for example, with time limits and things like that, that and you know, frankly, a lot of times we give people more opportunity than just their raw First Amendment rights guarantee them, and they still scream and kick for more. That's okay. But that doesn't mean that they're right about that. Switching gears a little bit, another topic that's been really in the news lately, and we've talked about it so many times on the air, it'd be unfair not to ask you for your perspective on it. I've been kind of, I think for 3 or 4 weeks, we've been talking about the $90 million bond issue that the TDC authorized to move forward to you guys to vote on, which you have not yet, to what, put $30 million to the Bay Center and $60 million, do I have those numbers right? I think I'm right about that, for the sports facility in Ashton-Brosnahan Park. Two things on this subject that have repeatedly come up. Number one, with Commissioner Burgosh being voted out so decisively, with your race yet to be decided, and with, you know, I guess Ashley's in there now, so that kind of changes a little bit, but we've got a new person coming on District 1 for sure. Wait until after the election has been my push. Wait until after everybody's seated. And number two, the location. It seems like a terrible location. Maybe it would be better at OLFA. Maybe it would be better at, somebody's put on Escambia Citizens Watch that at the, what is the acronym? The NEPA park, the disabled park on 9 Mile. Not NEPA. That's not the right word for it. The
Northeast you know, NEP park.
Yeah, yeah, the NEP. That's right. NEP.
John R. Jones is the actual name.
Yeah,
of it. Yes,
that even though it already has existing structures, that would be kind of an ideal, like right off of 9 Mile, and maybe put the NEP park stuff up at Ashton-Brosnahan instead. So thoughts on either the waiting, especially on such a big thing, and or the location.
You know, one of the things when you're running for office, you have the opportunity to say, well, if I was in office, I would do this, this, and this. And when you're in office, you have the opportunity to say, well, you know, I've taken action on this, or this is how I've actually, you know, this is how I've actually behaved. You know, so to ask my opinion on it, you know, I'm currently the chairperson, and, you know, the chairperson does have discretion over agendas, and there's a reason the item wasn't agended. So there's that. That's answering part of your question.
Yep.
And as far as the location, what's important is I think that we've found through the feasibility studies most recently, as well as ones previously procured, that we have a tremendous market for sports tourism. You know, whether, you know, this specifically was talking about basketball and volleyball, I think that expands to softball and baseball. We've got a tremendous market for sports tourism. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. It's a matter of location, and that's what you're saying. There hadn't been a you know, another site that was proposed. You know, the TDC did work through this process for over a year, and there were not alternative sites, you know, kind of discussed there at that time. So I think the folks that we contracted with to do the study, they did the work that they were asked to do, which they were asked to evaluate Ashton-Brosnahan. If some of the discussion is you know, a larger project at the Bay Center, I'm open-minded to that discussion. If some of the discussion is a larger, you know, a larger kind of enhancement at Northeast Pensacola or John R. Jones Park on 9 Mile, I think that's a great idea. That's where I grew up playing. So I'm certainly fond of that area. So I think there's a lot of discussions that are left to be had, which is why I think it was appropriate to come for discussion to our board once we have a full seated board, you know, later in November or, you know, later in November or into December. But I think what's important is that.
And I appreciate that, by the way, because that's what I've been pushing for, I mean, too, is let's wait until the new board is seated. So I'm glad that seems to be the decision.
The largest, or one of, if not the largest, athletic event that we host in Northwest Florida is the SEC soccer tournament, which is at Ashton-Brosnahan. That's going to be next weekend. And so, and you and I've talked about this before, and I think we didn't talk about it on the air, but you talked about it the next week. We always wait for perfect in Escambia County. That's why the Tech Park has been vacant since 2004, never anything built there. The Civic Center has been waiting for some decision, and we've been putting paint over something forever. OLF 8 has been out there for how long? Because it's never quite perfect. The Maritime Park, the city council has entered into potential agreements with how many people? Because we're waiting for perfect, because there's too many people who can find a problem with a plan and say, this plan doesn't work because of this. And then the next plan, it doesn't work because of this. And the next plan, it doesn't work because of this. And we never move the ball forward at all. And sometimes we may have to take good or okay to get a first down instead of a Hail Mary touchdown on our first opportunity, because all we're doing right now is punting the ball down the field every opportunity.
And I'm very sympathetic to that. The one thing I would say is in this particular case, it was the bundle. I think you'd have no problem getting support for funding for improvements to the Bay Center versus the cost of some entirely new facility, which is outrageous, right? It's the putting of them both together as a single item instead of treating them as separately, because, you know, it's a twice as expensive item on top of a one item that you win with, and the other one is the controversial one. But you've only got to vote on what you've got in front of you.
I would also say the people who opposed it at TDC are the same people who had a similar proposal on the old ECUA grounds several years ago that they couldn't get funding for, and now a different group has gotten funding for a similar project in a different place. And how much of it is
Pensacola, there's memories and grudges and who got which win. That is totally not true. So, we're talking with Stephen Berry and Jeremy Evans. Just a second, Commissioner. Yeah. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about: Mobile Highway and Lynch Street. The roadway is blocked on Mobile Highway. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. You were going to say.
Yeah, the bundling part. I mean, the bundling part is important to me. We're only going to have an opportunity, you know, the placement of a debt like this, we're collateralizing cash flows that won't change tremendously. Hopefully we have increases over the years, but
as long as tourism stays and no BP oil spill.
Yeah. As long as those things. So we're collateral.
I have my fingers crossed. You can't see it, but yeah.
So we're fully collateralizing those cash flows. So it is most likely a singular debt placement. And, I think the bundling aspect is important. Now, what comprises that bundle and how that bundle is split up, I think, is what's going to be negotiated. But I think the bundling is important. If a larger project at the Bay Center, that's reasonable to me. I've been ecstatic with the partnership that we've developed with the Sun Belt Conference. We just extended their contract last week at the board meeting. Extended the SEC contract. Those are both
big wins, right?
Both huge wins that 10 years ago, you couldn't have convinced my son. Jeremy's a huge sports fan, and you couldn't have convinced us that we would have been able to host those type of tournaments 10 years ago. So those are huge wins. So what comprises the bundle?
I was really bothered by the prospect of having this vote before the board changes. I'm still not sure I'm on board with the bundled vote even after the board changes, but I'm a lot less uncomfortable with it because particularly of the election being so volatile and shifts in the board. Last thing before, and we're totally out of time, the World Series is tonight. It is the Dodgers versus the Yankees. You played baseball.
Yeah.
Neither of these are your team, though. Who do you think is going to win?
So one of my best friends is a diehard.
We got like 10 seconds.
Yeah, diehard. He's a diehard Yankees fan, so I'm going to pull for the Yankees for my buddy Dale Allen in Tampa.
Jeremy? I think it's the Dodgers. I'm interested to see the ratings to see how successful can baseball be.
Tommy Edmond is a former Cardinal long time, so I might soft pull for the Dodgers, but I really can't pull for either team.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.